Blog Talk Radio.
Shows and counting, and this is just so wonderful to have this radio platform standing up for the animals in need and distress and trying to help get them better lives and futures, because they so well deserve. They cannot call up on this radio platform and tell us how they feel for getting abused or neglected or tortured. I mean, we have to be their voice, and in order to do that, we have to contact our state representatives and senators. They are the key to all changes, and it doesn't take that long, and we'll be discussing that later on in the show, but, you know, that's the key to help make their lives better, because the animals are just like children and elderly. They're voiceless and innocent, defenseless, and helpless, everyone. So we have to, you know, speak up and do what's right, because when you see enough is enough, then we have to, you know, do our part, take that action, contact our legislators, or write emails, you know, write letters, whatever it takes, those calls, okay? So in order to see change, we got to take action, okay? No questions asked. I'm just going to go over a couple things here. I want to give a big shout-out to Gary Bowden of Animal Advocate Alliance. He's the radio producer for All About Animals Radio. It's just recently came on air, and we're working as a great team here. They got my on-demand episodes on their website, Animal Advocate Alliance, and they're also on Facebook and Twitter. And a big shout-out to you, Gary, and keep up the great work you're doing. I know you're on a roll, and it's so I'm so happy to be a part of a family of global animal advocates on the website. So please check it out, animaladvocatealliance.org, and you can press the AAA radio, you can press the live, or you can put the on-demand episodes, and then that, you know, all the shows that I've done on Animal Advocates Radio will, you know, line up. It's powered by Blog Talk Radio. Okay, so big shout-out to him. A big shout out to Nicole Rodas, and she's been co-hosting on All About Animals Radio, and she's awesome. She's been a guest on the show, Wild for Change, and I want to look forward to having her on again. And because all of us together, we can speak out for the animals, host to host, coast to coast, speaking out together on air for all the animals in need and distress. Okay, everyone, and this show is coming live from the PPJ Gazette Online, and that's a big shout-out to Marty Oakley, TS Radio Network, 163 shows of which originated on TS Radio Network. On Marty, I was her host for 163 shows, and then the 164th show, and to the present, she helped me put together Animal Advocates Radio. And you never forget all the, you know, the ones that really do help you and out there for you, because they don't have to do that. She trained me all through this, and she's sick. She's very sick right now, everyone. She's improving a little bit, but please put your prayers out for her, because she's not out of the neck of the woods yet, okay? So, Marty Oakley, love you to death, and we're all praying for you. And hope you get better and help, you know, with some good news. But she does have the PPJ Gazette Online, and that's proudly presented by Marty Oakley every Thursday. And so please check it out, www.ppjg.me, the PPJ Gazette Online. On the right-hand column, you can press follow, and every time there is a new podcast coming up or news, a hot news article, it will alert you in your primary email, okay? So, and also on Blog Talk Radio, if you want to follow my shows, press follow under my Animal Advocates Radio logo, and every time there's a new upcoming broadcast, it will alert you in your primary email, okay? So please spread the word out there, because the more listeners and action takers, the faster the changes, everyone, because that's what we need. Facebook, I've noticed, is losing members left and right, and that's sad for our animals. You know, I looked into it, and TikTok and Instagram is beating out Facebook, and so is Truth Social is number one over Twitter. So please, everyone, we need you, okay? So if you can hop over, if you've left Facebook or whatever, follow me on Twitter. I'm under the same name, Debbie Dahmer, and I am the producer and host for Animal Advocates Radio, coming live to you every Thursday, everyone. So please, do something, take action, whatever it takes. You know, follow me on LinkedIn or Pinterest, Facebook, Voices Care for Animal Support Group on Facebook, or Animal Advocates Radio Voices Care for Animals, a new group on Facebook, a support group. So I want to bring on just two former guests for like under 5 minutes. There's a very important nationwide rally here in the United States. They're going to give the dates, and they've been guests here on my show. Jackie Olive, she's one of the organizers of this big rally to help stop these horse roundups. And after I talk to these two, I'll bring in my two guests on. So it'll be less than 5 minutes, but it's very important for the month of June to get the word out so they can have a big, huge turnout, okay? But, Jackie, you're live and on the air. Thank you for calling in. And can you – and I got Terry on the other – yeah, I'm going to bring her on too. But we're going to do about like 5 minutes to give this big – shout-out to about these rallies coming up in June, okay? If you could give them the dates, you know, the times and where. Go ahead.
Okay.
Thank you.
Hi, everybody. Thank you, Debbie. Check our website. It's www.wildhorsefreedomrally.com. Rallies are going to be either on the 10th or the 11th of June, depending on the state, and Arizona's doing a car parade on the 12th. So check the website before you head out anywhere, and just make sure you got your date and your time right. And we need everybody to come out and support our wild horses, because the roundups are going to start again in July. So we need everybody to make noise and show support for our wild horses and burros.
Yes, please.
Yes,
do. And Terry, I got you on here. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, okay. Hey, Debbie.
Hello.
It's
Hi,
very, very important, and this is actually kind of an emergency rally because of all the 145 horses that died in Cannon City, Colorado, in government holding in less than 3 weeks. A couple dozen horses died in Wheatland in holding, and these are not isolated incidences. So we need to make the Bureau of Land Management accountable and get some oversight and make a whole lot of noise nationwide to bring attention to this matter. We've already found out that all the horses from West Douglas that are in Cannon City went through the pink chute to get their microchips, and they weren't vaccinated, which is when they should have been vaccinated. We also found out that they can only take 823 horses there by their own words, saying the horses should each get 2,600 square feet. So it was reported they only had 50 acres, so that's 823 horses. Their website says they can put 3,000 horses there. So there's a big problem with the Bureau of Land Management.
That's what it
sounds
like, ladies.
We need to let everybody know. So we need to turn out in force.
Yep.
Yes.
All animal lovers,
not just horse lovers. Yes, and
WildHorseFreedomRally.com.
Social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, I'm helping to share it out. So, and we'll
continue.
I'm going to get to my guest here, and I want to thank you, ladies, for calling in. And please call in next week, and you know, at the beginning, so we can still give it exposure. Okay, the more exposure,
the
better.
Absolutely. Thank
you.
Have
thank you so much,
show.
Debbie.
The best. Okay, and
thank you
for calling in and letting us know, because these helicopter roundups are so brutal. And the horses get traumatized, these Mustangs, and it's so sad, you know, and so how they're getting treated. So everyone, please spread the word on this nationwide rally on every capital, okay? And they got the dates, and, you know, I'm putting it on
Wild
my pages
Freedom
and
rally.
Groups. Yeah, Wild Horse Freedom Rally. There we go.
Thank
you, ladies. Okay?
Thank you,
Debbie.
Have a good night. Bye.
You too. Please call in next week, okay?
Will do.
Okay, I'm going to go ahead and bring my guests on tonight. And I had to get that word out because they need a lot of people at these rallies, everyone. So if you know somebody on the state, you know, state capitals, or write to your state representative centers and tell them to pass the SAFE Act, the co-sponsor, okay, or the H.R. 6635. We got to get this going here and everything. So I want to bring my first guest on. Her name is Carolyn Griffin. She's co-founder and board member at Show Your Soft Side, and she is returning. And this is so exciting and such an honor to have her back on. Carolyn Griffin, how are you this evening? Welcome back.
I'm doing well, Debbie. It's so good to hear your voice and be back. Thank you.
Hey, you're so welcome. And this is not the last time, okay, because there's no limit on how many times a guest come on. You're all welcome back because, you know, some of them I've lost count on. So, and I will continue to do that because it means so much, because the more exposure out there for animal friends in need, the better. So we got to stay together and stick together, be teams, you know, great team players, and that's the way it goes. And I give a big shout-out to Spencer Hodges, too, because he's been a guest on here several times. And
he's the one who connected
us
at the beginning of COVID. Yes, I remember.
Yes, he sure was. And thank you, Spencer, because that's awesome. I love getting connected to good people. You know, keep the good, delete the bad. Right?
But, he's in England, which is amazing. So.
Oh, yeah?
He's in England, which is amazing how small the world sometimes is when we all connect.
I know. I know that Gary Bowden, he is in the UK, you know, and he was questioning me about Spencer, and I was sending him earlier information on him, you know, and then on another website, Fans of for Animal Rights, they're out there, and, you know, the managers of that is in the UK, Australia, Belgium. So I'm trying to connect them up to connect their shows to go out there. You know, so it's teamwork. So whatever
right.
it takes,
Very
right?
Good. Very good.
Yes. Yep. So, but you want to refresh the audience on how you got started, the co-founder of Show Yourself Site, everyone, and we're going to have some positive good news this evening, and that's what we all need. So, but go ahead, Carol, you're live and on the air.
Oh, thank you, Debbie. So Show Yourself Site is an anti-cruelty campaign that started in Baltimore about 10 years ago after a dog was set on fire in broad daylight. And two 17-year-old twin boys were charged with the crime. They were never convicted. But at the time, the worst cases of animal cruelty were being perpetrated by kids, some as young as 10 years old. And so the founders of Show Yourself Side, my partner Sandy Risette, who's an advertising professional, Lori Smith, who had a media background, we got together and tried to come up with this public service campaign to try to impress upon kids that compassion to animals is a strength. And we wanted to find role models that they would admire. And it was really challenging to do that. These were kids who were deviant, who didn't respect anybody. And so we decided to photograph professional athletes with their animals with this punchy tagline, only a punk would hurt a cat or dog. And we just set out to have this small poster campaign in Baltimore and just give some posters to the schools. But because of the Internet, the images crossed the globe literally overnight. And now we have 250 softy ambassadors around the United States who are ambassadors for our message that compassion to animals is a strength. And over time, we've grown many programs, and we've been involved in some legislation, and so it just keeps growing. It continues to be an all-volunteer organization, but it really has grown leaps and bounds in the decade we've been in existence.
Yeah, I mean, you're doing incredible work. I mean, it's awesome. Yeah, I mean, you're definitely a positive impact out there, bringing the negative into the positive, and that's what it takes. You know that,
and it's true because you know it's such a animal cruelty, such a disturbing crime. But it brings people, it brings awareness to this crime without making people look away. You know, we have these beautiful images of celebrities with their animals, and it's a positive campaign that I think is changing minds. At least we hope we are.
Oh yeah, definitely. Since I've been on the radio back in 2014 of June, I see so many changes have come in, Carolyn. You know, victories and doing the happy dance, and you know, and the victory dance. That's the main thing I like to do. Whether I was involved with that situation or issues or what I wasn't, I always love hearing the good news. Because that means that the animals really thank us. They can't tell us, but you see when their lives change for the better, you know, their lives
right.
and futures,
right.
and you know that you did your part, and it's so
exactly.
meaningful. I mean, it's like, I can't stop here. I got
to
keep going.
Right.
Yeah.
No, it is important to take stock of how far we've come.
Yes, we have. I can see it, you know, more people coming together, you know, especially on social media. I post this show on Twitter, and this thing goes off. I mean, the notifications and, you know, big animal groups. And there's some on
right.
Facebook, too. Don't get me wrong. But in LinkedIn, it's like, look at this. There are people out there that care. You know, if you care,
right.
you will share, right? And then Mama Bear
Absolutely.
Likes that. I'm Mama Bear, too,
yeah.
okay?
right.
Well, Mama Bear does care because she's on the air. So, but that's,
well, that's
meaningful.
Obvious.
I look at it and I say, check this out. You know, my notification is going off on these retweets or shares. You know, that is so inspiring right there. So
right.
we got to keep it up.
Out. Yes, I agree.
That's right.
I agree.
We can't be silent because it's like a landing strip, you know, for all of us to meet together to bring the awareness together, you know, what's going on behind closed doors, the truth and reality, everything. And that's our position to go and say, okay, we got to do something now. Mm-hmm. Can't wait a year from now or 2 years or five. We have to take action now. Because if
right.
we don't, the animals suffer more. And we don't want that. You know, we want it to, as soon as the victories come in, we know they got a chance. Because they don't stand a chance without us fighting for them. So if we don't fight
exactly.
for them, they lose, okay? And the problems get worse. So that's what we got to do, everyone. All the listeners out there, you know, tell everyone that you know, your neighbors, your coworkers, your sons, daughters, spouses, boyfriends, girlfriends, whatever it takes, let them know the truth and reality of what's going on out there and how important their voice is and their actions to do something. Because Ray Bittner, she's a former guest on here, Mama Cat, she always tells me strength in numbers, and that's so true, Carolyn. The more of us that come together, the stronger we become. You know, strong leaders and strong supporters equals strong victory. So everybody
agreed, and that's why I wanted to bring my friend and colleague Lisa Radoff on the show, because she and I have been working in this field of animal protection about the same amount of time, and we, you know, we haven't been able to do everything we've wanted to do because of COVID, but this was probably the most successful year we've had in Maryland in terms of legislation. And Lisa Radoff and another lobbyist with HSUS and lots of advocates across the state of Maryland really made just tremendous strides this year. And we were just hoping to share some ideas that we have as to why it's important to do this and how people can get involved. They shouldn't be intimidated by lobbying and reaching out to their legislators. So Lisa's done enormous work, and I'm just thrilled that she could join me tonight to talk about some of the work that she's done as a lobbyist.
Yes, and I'm going to bring her on right now, okay, Carolyn?
Great.
Welcome her aboard. Because, everyone, the topic will be helping animals through legislations, taking the fear out of advocacy, and give the audience some ideas on how they can get involved in passing animal protection laws in their own states. So you can be your own leader, get supporters, and go for it, okay? We can never say never. But go ahead, Lisa. You're live and on the air. Welcome aboard to Animal Advocates Radio, Voices Carried for Animals, number 356. How are you this evening? You're live and on the air.
Thank you so much, Debbie. It's very much an honor to be here on Animal Advocates Radio and Voices Carry for Animals. I'm so impressed with the work that you do and the kind of impact that you have. I do want to say thank you to my friend and colleague, Caroline. She has been an inspiration. I'm living here in Baltimore. I've seen with my own family and friends that it's cool now to love animals. You can be a really big, strong athlete, and you see the pictures and the posters and the billboards, and, you know, they've made it cool to be compassionate for animals, that you can be a big, strong athlete and still show compassion, and that's part of the kind of message that we want to bring about to people, that animals have feelings too, and as you said, Debbie, they don't have voices, so we need to be their voices. I'll tell you a little about our organization. Maryland Boats for Animals was founded in 2009. We have over 7,400 members. And in the years that we've been around, we've passed over 37 bills and opposed some others to help animals in Maryland, because we're Maryland Boats for Animals, so we deal with the Maryland state legislators. Our mission is to pass legislation that affects three groups of animals: companion animals, which would be your typical dogs and cats, farm animals, and wildlife. Say that when we do this kind of legislation, we can pass legislation to help animals, we also are there for bigger reasons, that we also can protect the environment and people. And really there are three big reasons. First, people care about animals. I mean, I'm sure most of the listeners on here are like myself. Your animals see you at your best and at your worst. And they still are there for you. A lot of them sleep with us. They see us sometimes walking in and out of the shower. And so they're there for us, and we need to be there for them. People care about animals, as you can see. I think as we began to see the beginnings of the war in Ukraine, you could see people fleeing their homes. They had their passports. They had a few possessions, their kids, and there were their animals. You saw dogs on leashes, cats in carriers, people with them in their jackets. I mean, animals are part of our family. The other, one of the other areas is something called the link, and that is deals with animal abuse, not a pleasant topic, and its relationship to child abuse, domestic violence, and elder abuse. And we've seen in legislation that we've worked on in Maryland that when you see abuse of animals, it's often a predictor of future crime. And as Debbie mentioned, you know, some of the bad news that we've been hearing now, a lot of times when there are histories done of people that perpetrate these kinds of crimes, there often is some aspect of animal cruelty in the history, and can be a red flag and a warning sign that members of the household or people with whom that person associates might not be safe. So again, helping animals, protecting them from abuse, but then also the larger group, and that when people can perpetrate harm on a defenseless animal, they're often, you're often unsafe in their midst because they won't think twice about doing the same to people. And then lastly, something we also deal with would be animals in the environment, because a lot of times, to coin a phrase, you know, the animals are the proverbial canaries in the coal mine, as we see with many of the dangerous pesticides, you know, whether it was from DDT, you know, back in the 1960s, you know, all the way to the future. So that's a lot of what we do. If you'd like, I mean, I can talk a little about lobbying. Certainly happy to have Caroline jump in, or you ask questions, Debbie, or your listeners.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to be taking calls here in a little bit, you know, for you both, but go right ahead. If anybody, you're in the queue and you want to speak later in a few, I'll let you know when I'm going to have the calls. Area code 310-982-4270. And you, if you have any questions or comments for Carolyn or Lisa, okay, and just press 1 and alert me in the queue that you want to speak, and you're more than welcome to come on board. Just try to refrain from any noises in the background, conversations, TVs, or radios, okay? Thank you. But go ahead, Lisa, and about lobbying and everything, because this stuff is so very important. And if anybody wants to go back and listen and take notes, because it's so important how to get hold of your legislators and, you know, be professional and polite and get your point across, because they are the big dogs. They're the ones that create laws or repeal them or, you know, amending. So whatever it takes, okay, and do your part, be part of legislation, and then when it goes all the way through for victory, you're going to be so glad you did. But you need your supporters, too. But go ahead, Lisa, and then we'll take calls here in a little bit, okay?
Right, and Caroline, please feel free to jump in, because Caroline is
sure.
Great, my partner in crime in this. She comes down and testifies at our state capitol at the hearings. You know, please feel free to jump in, and was, has
sure.
been instrumental in a lot of the bills that we have all passed. I mean, we really operate all of our organizations as a team, and I think that's one of the messages that I think is important is when all the different groups we work, Maryland Votes for Animals works very closely with the Humane Society of the United States. You have a wonderful state director in Florida, and so that's a really excellent resource. We also work with the Professional Animal Workers of Maryland, and that's an umbrella organization for the shelters in the various counties. And we all work together. They often come in and will speak about different groups, different bills, because they're boots on the ground, as well as other different groups. But getting to lobbying, this is something that everyone can do. The term lobbying, I think, sometimes is intimidating. If you're interested in an issue, if you have something that you feel moved about with animals, and you can get in touch with, you know, your state director, whether you're in Florida or whatever state, or even talk to some of your animal shelters because they may also have some suggestions. And, you know, get together and see and do some research, see if there are other people interested in the issue. And then you can start talking to your local legislators because you are the voters and they need your vote and they're going to want to listen to you. And just go in, be authentic, be yourself. And Caroline and I both did not come from animal backgrounds. We didn't go to school and have degrees in animal behavior. We're not veterinarians. I came from the business world. Caroline, I'll let you talk about yourself, came from the legal world. And when we can talk to legislators, we are very honest and can say this has been our background, and yet we still find these animal issues important to us. And then we can bring in other people, and anyone who has an experience is welcome to talk. And there's going to be a legislator who's going to want to be to listen, using personal experiences if they're relevant, and being polite. And thanking legislators and their chiefs of staff and everyone in their offices for their time. And that's really, I mean, it's, there's no secret sauce. It's just coming in and being authentic and just kind of pounding the pavement to get your message out. Carolyn, please feel free to jump in.
Yes, I think, you know, it's something people find intimidating, and they shouldn't, because these are elected representatives who need and want your vote. And so, for the most part, they're going to be receptive to their constituents. And fortunately, animal welfare, animal protection is really a bipartisan issue. We live in such a partisan world where Democrats like certain issues, Republicans like other issues, but we find animal champions in the legislature on both sides of the aisle. And it's we're very fortunate in that regard. And for the most part, the advocates know much more about an issue than the legislator does. So it should not be an intimidating experience. I mean, and as Lisa said, it's so often these legislators get complaints from their constituents or solving problems. But if you're speaking to them about an issue that's important, if you thank them, they so rarely get thank you letters for the work they do. I find it's been really pretty remarkable and easy to get to know my representatives over time, and it can actually be quite fun. And we're lucky in Maryland in that we have Maryland Votes for Animals. We also have a very marvelous state director through the Humane Society of the United States. And I think HSUS has maybe 30, 35 state directors. And so if people want to know if they have a state lobbyist, I think they can simply write, like in Florida, you could just email florida@humanesociety.org, and that will go to the state director. And HSUS has been great in many states in sort of coordinating these humane lobby days and getting the advocates together and giving talking points on how to approach your senators or your representatives. But even in states where there isn't a state director or a state lobbyist, I got involved initially just through my local Humane Society early on. I mean, most humane societies that are a little bit larger will spend some time lobbying on a bill. And so that's a good place to go if you don't have any resources in your state, if you're in a small state. Really just go to your local shelter to see if the executive director or somebody does some kind of lobbying work. That's how I got started in this many, many years ago. So I don't know if you had any other ideas, Lisa, but it really is helpful to have some guidance in this. And we're very lucky in Maryland to have two full-time lobbyists doing this work.
Well, no, I completely agree, Caroline. And the other thing that I would say is you also can, if there's an issue, in addition to getting in touch with the Humane Society of the United States State Director in your state or one nearby, you can also find out about where similar legislation has passed and find out a little bit about what the issues were there, what were some of the impediments, and find out a little bit, because that we also have found is very helpful, that if similar legislation is passed in neighboring states, legislators will often be much more open to it. The other thing that Caroline and I both know, and our state director, we operate very much thinking of legislation like a Venn diagram, if you can picture the two circles, and then like the overlap, and then the shading in between, that we are very open to discussing animal issues. Because I remember, and Caroline, you probably had this as well, when I first started this, and I came from a business background, the legislators would say, oh, animal people, you probably have spray cans. And we've spent a lot of time saying to them that we're not like that. We're not fanatics. We like to talk to you. We're open to listening to you. What concerns would you have about this kind of legislation? What would you like to see? Helping be a resource for them. And then trying to sort of meet them where they are. And then let them see where we are. And I think that we've really built a lot of wonderful, positive relationships. Legislators trust us. They feel that we're being open, that we're being honest, and we're trying something for the greater good. And animal issues are not really party issues. And the legislators, by and large, love to come back to their districts and tell their voters the kinds of animal legislation they pass, because usually it's compassionate. And it's about saving
lives. And it's a
vote
getting. People love their legislators when they support animal bills. I mean, your organization issues scorecards, the Humane Society issues scorecards, and these legislators take great pride in getting good marks, because it is a vote getter. They are recognized when they support these bills. So in many ways, they see you as a friend, which is
absolutely
really nice. There are a lot of industries where that's not the case at all. But even for people, Lisa, I think even if someone's an introvert and doesn't like the idea of going to the state capitol, this is something that Debbie touched on earlier. Social media has helped animals, I think, probably more than any other nonprofit sector. It's given a voice to so many small rescue organizations that don't have marketing budgets. But what can be really helpful, even if someone is not comfortable talking face-to-face with a legislator, is looking for action alerts. You issue action alerts. HSUS issues great action alerts. I'm on the board of the Animal Welfare Institute. Their government affairs people issue action alerts. And if it's an issue you care about, they simply, you know, talk about the issue, and it's usually two clicks of the computer to send a message to your legislator. And I'm always astonished, especially in Washington, if I send action alerts to my congressman, I always get an acknowledgement and usually a letter a couple weeks later saying, I'm very proud to have co-sponsored this bill, or I support this bill. Thank you for reaching out to me. And once you start engaging with them, it really, you really get, you know, much more involved. It actually becomes kind of fun to see, are they listening to you? And for the most part, they are.
And, you know, Caroline is absolutely right. I did an internship for a summer on Capitol Hill. It was a long time ago. So we used to count the letters that came in, or, you know, count the emails that came in on different letters. So absolutely, you do not need to be the type of person who wants to come down and certainly in Florida, it's far away to get to the state capitol. Maryland is a much smaller state. It's far away, and it takes a lot of time and to wait for hearings. So action alerts really are very helpful. Sending letters, picking up the phone, can absolutely call the office. We used to count the phone calls. It's very important. I mean, legislators will often talk about a piece of legislation and say, that bill generated the most calls, the most email, the most this, that, or the other. And that's often how they can gauge whether they feel an issue was really touching voters in their district.
And people should not be upset if they get a staffer. These legislators are often spending most of their time in hearings, and each of them will have two staffers who will answer the phone. I find it's really interesting talking to them, because many of them really care about these issues. And if their legislator, if their boss is uninformed, they will champion your bill. So always treat the staffers with as much respect as you would your legislator, because they have tremendous influence over their bosses.
No, it's absolutely true. And a lot of times for the animal issues, because they're not guns or the budget, they're the type of issues that get relegated to people on the staff, to the intern, or to the person who is less sort of maybe schooled in how to do the budget or something like that. So if you do get that person, that's exactly who the legislator might say, what is this animal bill? And if you've been polite and persuasive and, you know, have really treated that person with respect, you will see they often can be the difference whether a legislator spends time on the bill or it just kind of gets put to the side.
Right. Lisa, do you want to talk about, just maybe touch upon some of the bills that were passed in
Sure.
Maryland, because they were a great consequence and really, you know, companion animal, wildlife, it ran the gamut. So do you want
Sure.
to start with just mentioning one of the bills?
Sure. So we and Caroline, very much a part of this, with Show Your Soft Side and Animal Welfare Institute, we passed five bills in Maryland, and I'll touch upon a few, and then Caroline is going to touch upon a few as well. The first bill that I'm going to talk about was that dealt with wildlife trafficking, prevention of trafficking of parts and pieces of 15 endangered or threatened wildlife species, including giraffes, pangolins, elephants, and others. Basically, this was a result of federal law having a loophole, because this was illegal to be done in between states, but was legal within states. And so by passing this legislation, we joined the District of Columbia and 13 other states in prohibiting the import of sales within the state of Maryland. And we have the Port of Baltimore, which a lot of those types of items, ivory, would come in. And also the Humane Society of the United States had done some research and had their own study, undercover study. They do a great job with these undercover studies, and found that there was a lot of illegal ivory trafficking happening, which I think was very eye-opening for the legislators. So we were thrilled to see this pass. And one of the most wonderful things about this bill is, again, where oftentimes if people feel that legislation can be in one party or another, this was a bipartisan bill that, for example, in our Senate passed unanimously. And people from all sides of the aisle, people saw it as a problem. So this is the kind of victory that we like to see, where everybody can come together. It also was a wonderful bill in that legislators could come home and tell the residents in their district that they could, from their own homes, that they could be helping these endangered species across the world. So really like a wonderful bill. Everyone, I think, was very excited to see it pass, and our governor signed it. The next bill I will talk about is a bill that we've been working on for 10 years. And it sounds like a bill that shouldn't have taken 10 years, but sometimes these types of bills that sound simple, they're different elements of the bill that bother certain legislators. It becomes a sticking point, and this bill seems to always have a lot of conversation and would never get past a certain point in one of the committees. And this bill dealt with what to do with dogs in extreme weather when they were unattended. So in Maryland now, we have a standard such that there are basically minimal standards, but clear standards that would prohibit a person from leaving a dog outside and unattended for longer than 30 minutes without access to a suitable shelter when the weather was above 90 degrees Fahrenheit, with certain exceptions, and then also below 32 degrees, which you in Florida probably don't get too much, or during an active winter or cold weather warning. And seemed like it was pretty straightforward, but there were a group of legislators that it seemed to stick in their craw, And finally, we were able to do some compromising and discussing, and finally, after 10 years, that did pass. The last bill that I will speak about is the cat decoying prohibition, and this makes Maryland the second state to ban elective cat decoying. And what that means is decoying cats just basically to protect the furniture, not for medical or therapeutic reasons. That is still allowed in Maryland because essentially declawing on cats is really like the legislature, the Senate champion, or the sponsor of this bill, made us, had us all call it nothing, but that's really what it was, because it's taking off the top digit of each of the cat's front paws with a scalpel or a laser. And it has also prohibited in 46 other states, most of Europe. And this bill actually went through surprisingly easily for us. We thought that it would take a long time, kind of when you look at the extreme weather. But we were very happy to see that legislators saw that this procedure was not really something that was necessary. And so made us the second state in the country to do that. And we're now California is halfway through prohibiting cat declawing, and several other states are in the process, including Arizona. Caroline, go ahead.
The other two bills, another one is called Cost of Animal Care, a bill that has taken Maryland about 10 years to pass. And when animals are seized in cruelty cases, they can live at an animal control facility or a shelter for months pending trial. Oftentimes, they have significant medical expenses. Just the housing and the feeding of the animals costs a considerable amount of money. And in a large scale seizure, it can really overwhelm an organization. And so, the Cost of Animal Care bill simply says that the owner of the animal is responsible for paying the reasonable cost pending trial, and it takes the burden off of the animal shelter. And there were all kinds of concerns about, is this fair? And there were a whole host of due process protections in this bill, and thankfully it did pass. I think 36 states had passed it already, so it was always, you know, it's puzzling to us why our legislators had a difficult time with that one, but it finally did pass. And then one of the other ventures that Lisa and I are involved in is we have a spay-neuter board in Maryland. I think there are two, maybe three states that have these programs through the Department of Agriculture where there is a tax on pet food that the pet food industry pays. And that money goes into this fund that provides grants for nonprofits and shelter organizations to do free spay-neuter for low-income individuals or for stray cats. I think in the 9 years that it's been in existence, Maryland has performed 85,000 free spay-neuter surgeries, and we've had a rather impressive drop in both the intake and euthanasia across the state because of the spay-neuter. And the legislation, when it was initially passed, I think it had a 9 or 10 year term, and so it was just renewed for another 10 years. So Lisa and I will fortunately continue to work on that board as well. And it's really one of the most satisfying things that we do because we just see such an immediate effect, and it's so wonderful to be able to give grants to these wonderful organizations around the state of Maryland that have these spay-neuter clinics. And it's one of the best services these organizations can provide to people in their area. So we're feeling a little upbeat, Debbie, because we just got off of a really good session. So
yes, this is awesome. I mean, such positive news, bringing the negative into the positive. And you ladies are working so hard, the staff, and just one big team, you know, just with the legislators, too.
That's what
it takes. And yes, definitely.
It's all about being on a team, and I think that is something that the legislators see with us, that, you know, if any of us are available, local or around, and for one, one for all, and we're here for the animals, and no one cares about getting credit. We are so thrilled when we see legislation pass. It can just please go forward kind of thing, and what can we do to help these animals? And we're saying to the legislators, what can we do to help animals in the district, help your residents who love animals in the district, and we know you love animals. And, of course, if you look at the campaign literature, I don't know about you guys in Florida, but there must everybody has pictures with their animals on all of their,
yes.
You know, kissing babies and hugging puppies. I mean, you see a lot of
it. Yeah.
And so it's powerful. It's definitely the type of legislation that, you know, you want to champion and that they want to hear about.
Yeah, because all lives matter, including all the animals, you know, and you had brought up Humane Society of the United States, State Director Kate McFall. She's been on the show several times, and she's wonderful. She's out there working hard and looking forward to having her on again, you know, but we did have several bills that fell this year in Florida, and everyone, if you're living in Florida, please, you know, get on board. Get all aboard on the freedom train for the animals, okay? No matter if you're Republican, Democrat, Independent, whatever, you know, we got to work as a team. United we stand, not united we fall. And what we got to do is what's right for America, Americans, and the animals, okay? So please do your part, you know, don't hold against any, because you're not Democrat or you're not Republican and you have to go on the same team. Let's do what's right, not what's wrong, what's right. These animals deserve the best and the best lives and to live in comfort and free from anxiety and fear and torture, abuse, and neglect. Let's get rid of them. You know, that the animals deserve so much better, all of them. And ladies, I got a call, area code 724. You're live and on there. You have any questions for the guests, Lisa or Carolyn? Go right ahead.
Yes. Hi, Debbie. This is Diane.
Hey, Diane. How are you? That's Pitbull Diane. And great news, ladies. I just started up a new podcast 2 nights ago, Action Takers for Pit Bulls, and Diane is hosting, producing it. I'm training her and getting her on board, and we're trying to get everybody else on board to take, you know, get people more involved against BSL, you know, breed specific legislation. But this is, you know, positive news because Animal Advocates Radio is expanding. So, and
that's
so
wonderful.
Glad to have Diane aboard. Thank you, Diane. Pitbull Diane.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
I wanted to touch on something. You're talking about the animal laws and stuff. I was very excited back in 2017 because I live in Pennsylvania. Governor Wolf signed into Lieber's law for the higher standards of care for your pets when they're outside in cold weather. Yeah, so that was an awesome thing. But yeah, I had actually forgot about that until you started talking about it. But I am so interested in what you guys have to say tonight. And as Debbie said, with my new podcast coming up, Action Takers for Pit Bulls, that's what we need, Action Takers. We need people who are, they're not just going to sit there and do nothing or you know, turn and look the other way. They're going to actually do something, share, write a letter, make a call, you know, everything that you've already said. And I feel like I need to direct them in how to do that. And to be honest with you, I'm not real up on how to teach them how to do this. But I would love to get connected with you guys if you could, you know, if you have any tips or anything for me that you could share. It would be great.
And you're in Pennsylvania?
Yes.
I would bet that you have a state director with Humane Society of the United States. So if you were to just email Pennsylvania at humanesociety.org, it should get to your state director. And really the first thing is to see about a Humane Lobby Day, because I learned something, even though I've gone to Humane Lobby Day in Maryland for 10-plus years, I learn something every time. I'm just a part-time advocate. I always need a refresher on certain things. And what's so nice, they basically explain how to do it. They'll give you fact sheets with sort of summaries of the bills. They make it very manageable. And so you're lucky to live in a state that in all likelihood has a state director, because Pennsylvania
is
always evolving.
Yeah,
you know, and I apologize. I can't
remember. Does that sound right? Wayne Pissell?
I'm sorry? No.
Wayne.
No, he was the head of the Humane Society many years ago. But you do have a wonderful state director, and I can't remember her name. I apologize. And if I will get it to Debbie if it comes to me. But certainly, as Caroline said, you can search for it that way. And if I, with COVID, I don't know what happened, but I do think that you do have a Humane Lobby Day. And I also will tell you that Harrisburg is the most beautiful state capital. I've been to most of them in the country that I've ever seen. It's unbelievable. I don't know where you live in Pennsylvania, but if you haven't been there, anybody, it's worth a visit. But
I live near Pittsburgh, but yeah.
It's amazing. And so you have you passed Libre's Law, which was the inspiration for our Dogs in Extreme Weather bill this year.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a very active legislature for animals. And I apologize about the state director. Her name I can't remember, but
I can't either. That's why I thought it was still Wayne Pissell, because I can't remember.
No, he was the head of the whole organization. That was a while back.
Wayne Pissell? Wayne Pissell.
He was the state director many years ago, yes, and founded, you know, HSUS, but he was many years ago.
You probably Google search it. Wayne Pissell is with Animal Wellness Action. Now, he's been on the show several times, and he used to be a CEO on Humane Society of the United States. So if everyone wants to, you know, I've had him on several times, Marty Irby, executive director, Wayne Pacelli, he is the president and founder, and they got a great team. So when next week's show is, we're going to be talking about that, more organizations working together. You know how you see it's like a bill going through, and then you got, Maryland Votes for Animals on there. We got Show Your Soft Side, and they have, you know, logos of everybody, and it makes us stronger and more, you know, more people get attracted to that more when they say, hey, look how many organizations is involved with this. And that's what we'll be talking about next week on with Humane Society Utah. So if you ladies want to listen in and call in, that'd be wonderful. You know,
that would be great. Absolutely. Because there's a lot of work done. I mean, we have our legislature is 90 days. So the session just ended, but there's a lot of work done in the other months. We're already planning on what we're going to be, you know, what the agenda is for next year. This is a great time to meet with people. So the session is crazy, but it's a 12-month job to follow up and do this kind of work. So I'm glad you're having that show.
Ladies, feel free to call in. It's the same number that you called in this evening. And her name's, Rachel Heatley, I believe it is. I don't have it in front of me. But she's coming on for sure, and that's what she would like to talk about that. And we go down to like a little bit over a minute. And Carolyn Griffin, thank you so much for coming back on air, and looking forward to having you back on again and again. And also you, Lisa Rattle, I'd love to have you back on air again. And hope you ladies call on next week.
Thank you so much, Debbie.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, ladies,
please,
for everything you're doing.
Yeah. Oh, it's
welcome,
wonderful.
And I just
want
to mention the Pennsylvania State Director is Kristen Tulla.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Okay.
So you can Google her, T-U-L-L, Kristen. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you, everybody, for tuning in this evening, and I hope you all have a nice and peaceful weekend and or in the evening, too. And just remember, in order to see change, we got to take action, no questions asked. And I hope you join us next week because we'll have a great show. And Carolyn and Lisa, I hope you call in, okay? And
thank
we
you,
all
Debbie.
Find
thank
you
next
week. Okay? And thank you so much. What another great show, okay? And looking forward to it again and again. Have a nice evening, everyone. Paul in hand, united we stand against all animal cruelty and neglect across the land. Good night, everyone. Be safe.
God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye.